Each year, VPR collaborates with the Vermont Humanities Council for Vermont Reads, a statewide reading program. This year, people around Vermont are reading and discussing Haroon and the Sea of Stories by acclaimed author Salman Rushdie. The fable centers around a young boy, Haroon, and his father, the famed storyteller Rashid. The two embark on a fantastical journey when Rashid loses his gift of gab. One of the magical places they visit is the Sea of Stories. Haroon, his father, and a supporting cast of creatures with supernatural powers must travel to the Sea of Stories, which is being slowly poisoned by a literally dark figure called Khatam Shud. The Sea of Stories is where all the tales of the world originate. Here's author Salman Rushdie reading a passage from the book.
He looked into the water and saw that it was made up of 1,000,000,001 different currents, each one a different color, weaving in and out of one another like a liquid tapestry of breathtaking complexity. And If explained that these were the streams of story, that each colored strand represented and contained a single tale. Different parts of the ocean contained different sorts of stories, and as all the stories that had ever been told, and many that were still in the process of being invented, could be found here, the ocean of the streams of story was in fact the biggest library in the universe. And because the stories were held here in fluid form, they retained the ability to change, to become new versions of themselves, to join up with other stories and so become yet other stories. So that unlike a library of books, the ocean of the streams of story was much more than a storeroom of yarns. It was not dead, but alive.
This book is meant to be enjoyed by readers of any age, but the hero is the 12-year-old boy Haroon. And because he encounters fantastical beings like a mechanical bird that communicates telepathically, it's especially appealing for young adults. When Salman Rushdie visited Vermont this winter, I asked what made him decide to write a book for younger readers.
Well, quite simply, my son. I mean, my son who was at the time, I mean, he's now 35, but when the book was written, he was like 10, 11 years old and kept badgering me to write a book that he could read. And some of this began as stories that I would tell him, you know, as like bedtime stories. And of course, those were much, much simpler and briefer. But they contained the germ of this idea that there might be somewhere a magical sea where all the stories come from. You know? And that was elaborated into the book.
That idea that stories continually flow, feed off one another, that throughout time, these stories keep changing slightly, but they're familiar in a way. It's a lovely, lovely image.
Well, I think any of us who, you know, in this game knows that all books in some way come from other books. You know, I mean, obviously they come from other things too. They come from life and experience. But I remember there was a wonderful moment when William Faulkner was accused of plagiarism for As I Lay Dying. That there was some other book which used multiple narrations. He gave this brilliant. Only Faulkner could have said this. He said, when I am in the throes of my genius, I take whatever I need from wherever I can find it. and I think, you know, all of us would agree that I don't know about the throes of our genius, but we do it too.
This novel mixes realism with fantasy, but it's also rooted in a kind of real-world sadness. Haroon's father, Rashid, is celebrated for his great oral storytelling ability. He has the gift of gab, as you call it. That gift dissolves, though, when his wife, Haroon's mother, leaves him for another man. And this sets Haroon on the journey to restore the sea to health, give his father access again to those stories that he needs to make a living. How powerful a force was storytelling in your own childhood? And did your own father or perhaps your mother have that gift of gab that Haroon so admires?
Well, you know, in different ways, they both did. In fact, the way in which I first heard many of the famous stories of the East, you know, the kind of Arabian Nights stories and so on, I heard in my father's tellings of them as bedtime stories when I was a kid. So he was very good at that. At telling stories to little children as they were going to sleep, you know. My mother was a different kind of storyteller. She was like a world-class gossip. and she knew where all the bodies were buried. You know, she knew all the dirty secrets of everybody. And like a true gossip, couldn't keep them to herself. You know, I remember there was a point at which she said, I'm going to stop telling you this stuff because you put it in your books and I get in trouble.
One of the characters in the book asks the question, why do stories matter if they aren't even true? How does fiction specifically find a foothold in a world that seems increasingly obsessed with the, quote, reality of things? I'm thinking about things like reality television, memoirs are big, real-world events that often outdo fiction and shocking and captivating audiences. Yeah. Where does fiction fit in these days?
Well, in many ways, the book is an attempt to answer, the whole book is an attempt to answer that question, really. And it's really trying to say that we're all, you know, human beings. We are storytelling creatures. We're the only species on the planet that does this very weird thing of telling itself stories in order to understand what kind of creature it is. You know, and I mean, and some of those stories are, of course, true stories, and some of them are like family stories, and some of them are national stories, and some of them are make-believe. You know, and I think it's that mixture, the need to understand ourselves through story is very central to human beings. When a child is born, once the child feels safe and well-fed and warm, etc., very early on, what it wants is a story. Tell me a story, you know, children say. And so it's something very deep-rooted in human beings, the need for story.
Is there a character in this book that you identify with particularly, if so?
Well, I mean, I suppose, you know, the storyteller, Haroon's father, Rashid, is certainly my children would recognize that as a lampoon of myself. I fortunately never had the difficulty that Rashid has, which is running out of stories to tell. I mean, so that hasn't happened to me yet. What I thought was an interesting reversal in the story is that in the story, it's the child's job to save the adult rather than the other way around. And it's very much kind of Haroon to the rescue. And I thought it was much more enjoyable to do it that way around.
It seemed like you were not afraid to, if that character did identify with you, to lampoon yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
When he loses that gift of gab, he can't say anything but, I think, arc.
Yeah,
arc.
He's just
at one point.
Yes, he's just can't. Nothing comes out of his mouth, you know. And this is also because he comes from a tradition, the character comes from a tradition which is still very much alive in India, not so here, of oral storytelling. You know, that there are still very, very successful oral storytellers who wander around, you know, gathering really quite sizable audiences to tell stories to the audience. And of course, the great thing about the oral tale is that the storyteller knows exactly whether he's holding his audience or not. Because if he doesn't hold them, they get up and walk away. You know, if they don't like it, they throw things. So the great oral storytellers are actually wonderful to listen to because they show you how to do that, how to hold an audience, you know, how to keep attention, how to keep interest. And I have in my time sat and listened to quite a few of these guys in India. And so the character of Rashid, in a way, comes more out of that than out of me.
Haroon and the Sea of Stories isn't all escapist fantasy. Haroon and his friends must confront shadows that can live independently from the people they're attached to. And there's a serious point Rushdie makes about the threat to freedom of expression. Haroon battles Khatam Shud, the cult master. He's the leader of this kind of cult of silence and is the mastermind behind the effort to destroy the Sea of Stories. Rushdie wrote the book decades before the murders of the 12 journalists and cartoonists from Charlie Hebdo, but he said the threat remains the same, and it's one Rushdie knows about from personal experience.
Haroon and the Sea of Stories was the first book I wrote after the attack on my work, or after the attack on the Satanic Verses, which was the year before this. Mm-hmm. So obviously that was something very much in my mind, you know, at the time. And I wanted to approach that subject in a way that, after all, I was primarily writing for my young son, but not only. You know, and I was, as you said earlier, I had hoped that adults would find, if you like, another book, you know, another way of reading the book. Children would get children's pleasure, and adults hopefully would get a kind of adult pleasure. And certainly to those adult readers, I was trying to talk about the battle between speech and those who would strangle it, you know, those who would gag it, silence it. And that very much came out of the experience that I'd just gone through, you know, and which now, as you say, sadly, many other people are going through or have gone through.
Within that battle you're talking about now, is this a watershed kind of moment, or is this just something else that's caught up in the news cycle? I mean, do you see a turning point, those millions of people that marched in France?
I think it was very encouraging what happened in France. I mean, I think it was, I mean, for a start, speaking as a person who uses pens and pencils for a living, I thought, what other country would have 4 million people on the street holding up pencils to defend what people who use pencils do for a living? You know, I thought that's, you know, bravo, France, I thought, you know. And also it really was the whole country. You know, it was people on the left, on the right. It was Christians, Muslims, atheists. It was literally the whole of France. And it was a real show of national unity. And I think that was a good sign. I mean, let's see what happens now. I mean, that was a moment, you know. We'll see how things work out.
Listen tomorrow morning when Vermont Reads Haroon and the Sea of Stories continues. We'll hear from author Jonathan Gottschall on why stories make us human.